Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. Today is the 17th and hopefully if it all works we'll be able to get this out for Sunday tomorrow for the 18th. So first of all let's just start off with the story that seems to be on not just the alternative or the truth media but the mainstream, and that's this ongoing situation with Epstein. The established media are talking about conspiracy theories, and they are putting fuel on the fire. And a number of very establishment people have put forward their own views, such as, wasn't it convenient that Epstein died, etc., etc. So far from the story being buried or going away, it's actually running and running. And as more cases against Epstein's estate, because he's dead now, so the estate legally, this topic will grow, and there are a number of people who are named as associates of his, and they'll also be in. So this is not going away. The big question really is he dead? And if he was dead, which side killed him? So that's the first question really, isn't it? And the second one is, well, you know, if he's not dead, where is he? And there are literally two schools of thought. And what's interesting is that the American intelligence school of thought is that he's not dead, but the British intelligence school of thought is that he was murdered. And I'm of the opinion that a very few people in the White House know, and an even smaller group in the Pentagon know. My own view is that he's not dead, and that he is either on a ship in international waters, or he's on an underground facility somewhere. I think the difficult thing, or the hardest thing here, is this ultimately means that he will presumably be given a new name, some sort of skin graft to change his features, money probably sent to South America, and that implies that the information that he had in his head the intelligence agencies didn't have. In other words, it was worth doing a deal with him, and also to protect him from being killed by what we could loosely call his own side. So legally, as far as the system's concerned, he is dead, and therefore the process runs along that, and the established media will always refer to him as dead. But you know, there is this other school of thought that actually he's not dead, and that he's helping the authorities with their inquiries. That's probably the best bit to put in it. So the revelation this week of federal agents going into a number of these mansions that Epstein owned and finding this infamous painting of ex-president Bill Clinton. Interestingly enough, a number of people haven't drawn the conclusion he was wearing a blue dress in the painting and red shoes, but that's exactly how Monica Lewinsky, those of you who can remember that far back in history, Monica Lewinsky used to dress in a blue dress and red shoes. So that's not lost, the irony there. And the question I posed on my website was, look, did he really dress like that and was painted, or is this just a figment of somebody's imagination? And the only person who really perhaps is alive and can answer that is the artist who was commissioned by Epstein to paint this. So that's bizarre enough, and you know, and I've said, look, you know, I've got nothing against cross-dressers, and just because Bill Clinton was a Democrat doesn't mean that Democrats like to dress in women's clothing. You know, just because Bill Clinton was a liberal, you know, some of the comments I've seen, doesn't mean that liberals cross-dress. You know, it's nothing to do with that. This is entirely to do with the strange and bizarre relationship that existed between Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein. And that hasn't been fully answered yet. And I hope to goodness that that is one of the major questions that keeps coming up until, you know, we get an answer in the public, which seems half decent. So why would a person have a painting of an ex-president hanging up in their room, a male president dressed in a woman's clothing? What was going on there? So that's a really interesting question. if you were to walk into this, I call it number one mansion, if you were to walk in, you would be faced, once you get through the front doors, with hundreds, or at least a great many, glass eyeballs. Jeffrey Epstein ordered large numbers of glass eyes from Great Britain, and he had them set in the ceiling and the walls. And this is clearly a reference to, you know, the great eye, you're being watched. I thought that was interesting. That's a trigger for people who've had mind control, who go in and see that. Then they know that they're under surveillance, they're being watched. It don't mean necessarily cameras, but I'm talking about psychic surveillance. The other thing that he most bizarrely had was, I think, a stuffed lion or a stuffed tiger, which isn't so bizarre because in old-fashioned mansions, houses, you would sometimes see that. But he also had a stuffed chihuahua dog, and I don't know what that was about. But the most telling of all was a very large chess set. Those of you who are not familiar with chess, it's a checkerboard with pieces that you move around in rank positions, unlike checkers where the pieces are roughly the same until they become a king or a queen. So on this chessboard, here's the exciting thing, all the pieces were modelled after members of his staff. I'll say that again. All the chess pieces on the board were modelled after members of his staff. So the maid, the butler, the chauffeur. So they had likenesses of their faces on the chess pieces, and they were all scantily dressed. Isn't that strange? So, you know, that's the bits that I've been shared. People are privy to share that with me, and that's not even up the stairs yet. This is on the ground floor. Goodness knows what was lying up the stairs or down in the cellar, but perhaps that will come out. So that really is worth watching, and I'm so gratified that ordinary, unawake and unaware people are not buying the authorities' story, and they're also becoming deeply interested and beginning to find people like me and many others who are talking about the subject. So long may that go on. Well done. Talk about 5G. You know, you should know that I'm not a great fan of 5G, and we are hoping to test a product which we believe is a very useful defense against 5G. I'm going to trial that myself here. I'm going to have reports sent to me from laboratories where it's been trialed, and if that device appears to work for me personally and on the empirical scientific evidence, then I'm going to be telling you all about that product. It's not hugely expensive. I won't be selling it, but I've been asked to have a look at it, test it out, and if it does the job, then I'll put my name to it. If it doesn't do the job, I won't put my name to it. Simple as that. Okay, Connecting Consciousness, the organization that I, as the founder, I created a number of years ago. We're having our annual meeting. I'm afraid it's in London again, and the reason I say I'm afraid is because we had the meeting there last year, and I did deeply want to move around the country. It seemed quite right to have it in the Midlands or the North or the West somewhere, but it's about availability, it's about venue, it's about cost, all of these things which, you know, I don't charge a membership fee for being in Connecting Consciousness. You know, there isn't even a pound or a dollar asked. So don't charge people to be part of the group. So we survive entirely on donations, as you know. So on the 15th of September in London, we have our annual meeting. It's not a conference. Do not come there expecting to have lineup of speakers. This is where members of Connecting Consciousness meet together, share their views, their ideas, support each other, help to shape where we go as an organization for the next 12 months. So have an input on that. There's no entrance fee. It's free to come in. There will be a hot meal provided and teas and coffees at no charge. I'm very extremely grateful to our hosts who have made the venue available and said that there is no charge. We don't have to find any money for that. This is what true spirituality is about, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an example where greed is just not allowed into an organization. Oh, sure, we're in a third dimensional world and we have to live. Of course we do. We have, you know, utilities to pay for. We've got to put gas in the car. We've got to do all these things. But, you know, there are certain things that we have to fight for that we believe in. And, you know, I'm so grateful that, you know, the owners of these properties are prepared to allow us to use it without a charge. So every member of Connecting Consciousness should, at some point on Monday, get an email through his or her letterbox giving you the details. A preliminary one was already sent out, but I know if you're like me, you're terribly busy and you forget these things. So please look out for it. Now, if you don't get it and you've just recently joined, you're in the batch coming forward, so you will get one. There are a number of people who've joined recently and are not yet on the full mailing list. But if for any reason you haven't, just give it a week, and then if not, you'll have to get back to us. But there'll be all the details on that. And I'm asking people to please confirm if they're coming. If you're not going to make the meeting, that's fine. Don't bother emailing in saying I'm not coming. But if you are coming, you must please email beforehand, because I need to know numbers. And, you know, there's a meal provided for people, so the catering you know, has to be organized. So please watch out for that. That would be great. I just want to obviously talk about President Trump. We've got the primaries coming up, the elections. President Trump is out there, you know, doing his thing. The queue to get into these meetings is still huge. So whatever your political persuasion, please be aware that these liberal-leaning mainstream TV stations, what President Trump calls fake news, they're not being balanced, because they'll show maybe 100 people demonstrating against President Trump, and that's fine, that's part of democracy. But what they should do as part of democracy is then show the other side of it, which is thousands of people queuing to get in to listen to President Trump speaking. And, you know, time and time again, we see this unbalanced reporting. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you have a view or a vision, if you are tasked with providing information to the public and you're being paid for it, then, you know, you should at least be balanced. And that's not what we're seeing. So, you know, I don't know it's about fake news, but I know it's about false news. It's about hiding the truth. And, you know, if you report the news and you're the CNN or NBC or any of these others, then really you should do it more equitably. So there we go. That's that. And we've got lots of questions. So thank you very much. And over to Becky. And before Becky starts, there were some reports from last time of a sort of a clicking sound seemed to be coming from Becky's microphone. But we did discover what that was. In between the questions, Becky was knitting. She was actually knitting a scarf for me. So that's what the clicking was. So hopefully they'll be now told her not to do any more knitting while we're doing this. Hopefully there'll be no clicking. All right, Becky, over to you then. Thank you.
Okay. Right, the first question is from Tamara, who says, can they still merge a dark timeline into this positive one? Every day I wake up, I watch my emotions. I don't fight like I used to from driving to the line at the grocery store or with family members. Someone said the timelines have sealed. I know there is still evil skimming loose, and I promise not to go back to being an anger despair buffet. But is the roller coaster of timelines over?
Yes, the answer is yes. It happened in the very end of 2012. And I've said before that never before has humanity made it that far. There's been several attempts where humanity has got to that stage but fell for whatever reason. So it is not possible now to jump the tracks, push us onto a different timeline, but it is still possible and is being done, is to push us to the edge. If you can imagine two railroad lines, and you've got the left-hand side and the right-hand side, and you want to run in the middle of that. Well, if you've got a good guy and a bad guy both pushing on you, And sometimes they equal each other out, you stay in the middle. Sometimes one stronger and pushes you to one side and then the other. Well, what they're trying to do is to push us to the negative side. And that's when you will see these occurrences happening. So we can't be pushed off the railroad line, but what we can be done is to push into a more negative aspect of it, which doesn't mean that it's continually negative, but we will go through phases. So you might go through 3 weeks or 4 weeks of real difficulties, and then suddenly it's like coming out of a tunnel, you know, come into the nice sunshine, and everything's okay for about 3 months, and then whoosh, it goes back in again. This is what we're experiencing. And those of you who are more sensitive, more psychic, you are experiencing it in your own reality. So someone who's less awake and aware will be aware that there are bad things occurring in their province or in their state or in their country. But those who are really up with it, they're beginning to feel it right around them. And then suddenly there's a swap over. So timeline change, there is no technology now available to do that, because humanity chose, was it 31st of December 2012, we made a big change. So we're not going back from that, but we're still being troubled. Thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. Tamara also asks, what is the difference between spark of life consciousness that is taken from people and your soul? I have been trying to figure out my brain soul and heart consciousness, and sometimes words are generalizations rather than definitions. Thank you for answering the questions that most are afraid to think about.
Thank you. I think a number of people who don't want to talk about certain topics because they fear for their life, and I fully understand that. You know, that's just the way it is. Your question, it's not quite that. It's more about replicating. What the technology is there to replicate, you call it the spark of life, to replicate the signature. Each soul of a person is rather like a fingerprint. It's individual. And if you have the right technology and you have a really advanced brain, then you can identify a person from the signature of their soul. And that's what the extraterrestrials, but particularly the extra dimensionals, use when they're tracking people. They don't really need these little things on them, etheric implants, for tracking anymore. They can track and they'll know you for who and what you are. So if that is replicated, then they don't actually take from you, but they copy. And then if they copy that, they could then interact with the copy. I don't mean a copy of a person. Don't imagine a person standing there. It's just that energy copy. And they can then try to influence the real person through the copy. And that's something that has been done for quite a while. But that's the best answer I can give you on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Donald asks, or says, hello, Simon and Becky. Thanks for your all important work. There seems to be a huge divide between conventional science and the one that can explain impossible things like anti-gravity, faster than light speed travel, time travel, ESP, remote viewing, precognition, etc. How can this divide be bridged?
The problem is that many of the theories that we now accept as reality weren't proven when they were created. They were worked out through math, and there were some great people who came up with much that, you know, was proved to be right. But the problem is, if you can't replicate something, if you can just create it based on mathematics, if you have the wrong concept, then everything that you create mathematically must match the concept. So if your concept's wrong, your mathematics are wrong, and then if you build on that and build on that, you're completely off the wall. Now, added to that, that those who are in power, the real power, the real elite, certainly don't want everyone knowing the truth. They don't want the universities knowing the truth. So they will peddle this false line, whether it's in physics or any other form of engineering or science. so that the university students coming out, who are going to take on the top jobs, are working within a confined structure of physical prisonhood. When we look at things like, you know, what's called free energy, there isn't a concept for that in the mainstream world, and yet we know so many people through many countries over many, many years have either stumbled upon this or reinvented it and have made a working model. Those people either disappear, we never see them again, or they end up working for companies or corporations. And the concept they have just disappears or goes with them. What will happen is at some point, human consciousness will not accept the status quo any longer. And that is occurring. Look at the things coming out with Jeffrey Epstein. 5 years ago, that would never have broken in the news. It would have been suppressed. It would have been stopped. People wouldn't have been given that information. He would never have gone to court. He would never have faced any of the charges. It just wouldn't have happened. So things are moving. But you're talking big deals here. You're talking about technologies that will change the world. And for those of you who are in the know and have perhaps listened to me and maybe other people, many of these new technologies which are on the verge of coming out have come from other places, and we've talked about Antarctica quite a lot. And I did enjoy the second film of Iron Sky, The Coming Race. Remember the film originally that was banned? Both of them had to be funded through Kickstarter because Hollywood didn't like the idea of Germans after the Second World War living on the moon and flying saucers. And so the creators of that had to go and kickstart the money, and they did, and they produced two films. So Iron Sky and Iron Sky, The Coming Race, well worth watching. The second one is about Antarctica and how humanity was created. It's funny, but it's got some useful parts to it. So when you understand, and I know many of you do, when you understand the game that's being played here, it's not surprising that there are certain people who don't want certain technologies out. But what I can say is that the future is actually much brighter than it was a few years ago. There are technologies which are just about ready to come out that will actually help the planet and help people. And so I'm actually quite upbeat about the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Donald also asks, Kerry Cassidy's friend, Captain Mark Richards, talks about raptors as being supportive of us humans, but I have never heard you talk about them. Why not?
Because you missed the episodes where I talk about them. I have spoken about them, you just missed it. The raptors are ambivalent. They're mostly concerned with the United States Navy. They have a working arrangement, or they did have a working arrangement. I wouldn't say that they were benevolent to humanity. I would say that they have come to an arrangement with a particular employer. So the raptors are a form of a reptilian. They're actually very gifted with swords. I know most reptilians are, but these are particularly so. I haven't had any real personal experience with them. Friend Winston Keach, when he was doing all his inventing, was once invited to America to a dinner attended by the first Homeland Security person, was Congolese Rice, and you know, he was having a chat with her, and it became quite clear that, you know, that the United States Navy was a bit of a problem for the Bushes, who were very much in charge at that time. Bush was the president, because they were not controllable. If you have an arm of your military that has an independent agreement with an off-planet race, then it's a bit of a problem for you. So I have no doubt that they existed. I haven't seen anything recently. But yeah, the reason that you haven't heard me talk about them is because you just missed the times when I have spoken about them. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Donald also asks, you sometimes talk about the Bible as reliable history. Which translation of the Bible is the most authentic and accurate, both historically and spiritually?
Right, well, what I've said is certain parts of the Bible are accurate. I have a Bible here, certain parts of it are not bad in terms of historical accuracy. I can't answer the question because there have been so many reprints, and each time there's a reprint, it isn't just tidied up or cleaned up. They'll take out something that they missed the last time around. I do have a copy of a Bible that's about 150 years old, and it doesn't actually, there isn't much change between that and what we call the King James Version and the more modern version. Are the three versions I've looked at. There isn't a great one. Really, you need something that's about 1,000 years old. That's what you need, because then you would find all the material that wasn't a threat because people weren't asking questions. As people became more aware, started asking questions, so they revised it and revised it and revised it until we get a very sanitized version. But those of you who have done your homework, you'll know that it refers to making man in our image, whereas God is supposed to be one person. So there's a real clue that we're looking at more than one. And other points about the gods finding women very attractive and coming down to have sex with them on earth. And again, that doesn't really play to the message that you get when you go to Sunday school, does it? So the Bible is useful. Unfortunately, it's been altered, changed to push a message. And that message is not necessarily the message that is the one that we want to hear, but it's the message that the people who control the Bible want you to hear. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I remember reading on that, because I used to work in a large bookshop, that the King James Bible, which was heavily revised by Sir Francis Bacon and King James I, and they took out a lot of stuff that would have given more clues as to the earlier spiritual side of things.
Well, Sir Francis Bacon is labelled as perhaps a writer of many things. Didn't they think he actually was William Shakespeare?
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that he
was,
wrote
actually
William Shakespeare's,
yes,
work.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on at that time. Started, really kicked off with Queen Elizabeth I when she employed her wizard, her psychic advisor. Nothing wrong in that. Everyone in history, right back to goodness knows when, has employed an advisor to advise them on spiritual levels, psychic levels, and physical levels. But under Queen Elizabeth I, it became well advertised throughout Europe. So all the late medieval Renaissance groups and families all rushed to get their own psychic advisors, and that went right through. I mean, even, you know, President Ronald Reagan had an advisor on those lines. President Putin does. I don't know about President Trump, but it is the done thing. It's what you do, and why not? So that's my answer. I hope that's helpful.
Okay, thank you. And Donald did ask a lot of questions. Finally, is there a searchable transcript of your broadcasts?
Well, there is. If you go on to the website, simonparks.org, there is a link there that takes you. We have some really wonderful people in America. I haven't got permission to use their names, otherwise I would name them. They've done a fantastic job at doing that, and you will find many of the broadcasts I've done actually transcribed there, and you can have access to it. So it's a great thank you to those people in the US, mm-hmm, who have worked unceasingly, tirelessly, without pay, because they believe in a spiritual future. They believe that the information has got to be brought out there, and they've just done a fantastic job in doing that. So yeah, simonparks.org, find the link, and then just see if you can find what you're looking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Revy says, good day, Simon. Could you please talk or explain the topic of guardian angels and spirit guides? Is it true that each individual has one or two of the both? Please share as much as you can. With much gratitude and appreciation, Revy.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get the answer for you. I think not everyone has one of each. It's about the balance of the universe or the multiverse that you have, you know, negative, positive, or what have you. But it's not a given that there will be two. The Bible is quite clear that Lucifer or Satan was a fallen angel. And there's some interesting truth in that. So, yeah, I don't have a problem believing in angels. They certainly exist. Whether they are the angels depicted when I buy a Christmas card, I couldn't really say. But I certainly think that there are angelic or truthful forces out there that are undying in terms of their imagery, and will intercede when necessary. In terms of spirit guides, this is somewhat different. If you have let us just say you have a really positive experience 300 years ago as a North American native Red Indian, and you, through your own personal development, make great contacts and you're highly regarded, then you could draw to yourself a spirit of a native North American Indian who will then reincarnate with you, but every time you reincarnate, it will attach to you and be there to advise you. So it doesn't matter how many hundreds of years since the incident where you made that connection is there forever until one or the other of you breaks it. These spirit guides are advisors, so it's no different from somebody advising a president or somebody like that. It's the same principle, and they will advise you. Sometimes people hear voices in their head, and that's not because they are crazy. Sometimes they will just get a knowing or a feeling. Sometimes there will be things happen to them which will dictate the way they go. Hello, Freya. So what I'm saying to you is that there is a difference between a spirit guide and an angel. Now, can an angel be a spirit guide? I suppose so, but not on an ongoing thing. You wouldn't have an angel with you allocated to you all the time. You would have something that was much more personal, had shared a life with you, had seen you growing and developing, whereas the angelic realm, if you like, will come down, do the job, and go back again. So that's it, without waffling on. I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Christopher says, hi Simon, can you please discuss spiritual DNA and how it interfaces with physical DNA? Does it have a role in breaking down the frequency fence between active and dormant DNA? Thank you.
Right, I would use the word energy DNA. Spiritual, I believe I know what you mean, but I wouldn't use the terminology. I would use energy DNA. About 250,000 years ago, the form Homo sapiens sapiens, I believe, was created as we stand today. But that is not the creation of humanity. What we are today is a offshoot of that through genetic engineering. But humanity had been around a long time before 250,000 years ago. Humans originally had 12 strands of DNA. Can you hear me over there? I can see you. Humans had originally 12 strands of DNA. And if you doubt it, then you just have to look at your analog clock, which runs 1 to 12. You just have to look at your calendar, which starts at January and goes up to December, which is 1 to 12. In the United States of America, as in Britain, up till quite recently, until Britain made a big mistake and went decimal, you have a measurement of inches, which runs from 1 to 12. So the point here is that the numbers 3, 6, 9, 12, but we're talking about 12, is deeply embedded in human consciousness. And particularly in those countries that have a strong connection to the past. Other countries which have a less of an anchor to the past moved to a decimal system over 100 years ago. So we're looking at the figures from 1 to 12, which show very clearly that 12 is a very important number. With 12 strands of DNA, at some point in the past, humanity was tricked and 10 strands of DNA were removed. But the universal law, or the law of a multiverse, is that belonged to that individual, so it couldn't be destroyed. So what they did was just put it just a little space away from you and put it out of phase. So not in the third dimension, but not in the fourth. Somewhere between the third and the fourth dimension. Because it's still your property, and they haven't got the right to remove it from you completely. So we were left with two physical strands of DNA, enough to be able to put on the television, go and buy a hamburger, and go and sit down and talk about things that are pretty boring, and enough to dig a hole in the road or go work in the factory and make lots of money for some people that we never even saw. So that's what that was about. But what happened is, over those many, many years, these strands of DNA are attempting to get back into the person. So each one of you, each one of us, is trying to get back in. And as we begin to draw these strands back, so our understanding of the world increases. So think of a mountain, Mount Everest. Everybody should know Mount Everest. And let's say that I take a ruler and a line, and I start with one at the bottom, and I equally divide Mount Everest up into sections, and I just draw a line through, and I go 1 to 12. Well, as you climb up the mountain, you see further and further over the horizon. So as you're climbing up, as you're gaining more energy strands of DNA, you can't be lied to. You won't take BS. You'll actually see what's going on. But the person that's lower down from you, i.e. less strands of DNA, they don't see as far as you do. So they're looking at you and thinking, hey, you're crazy. You believe this stuff. You believe that. You believe that. But when they reach that level of development, if they do, but when they reach it, they suddenly realize, hallelujah, okay, I see it now. So these strands of DNA are trying to rejoin, and there are certain things that we can do to bring the energy strands back. Because once you get the 12th strand, there is another unlocking process, because it's coded, like a tumbler lock on a wall safe. And once you get that back, then you can become really telepathic, have telekinesis. I mean, there are people already on the planet that can do it. They either end up in the CIA or the old KGB, and you know, they've got jobs for life. But for the rest of us in this very heavy third dimensional energy, it's quite hard going. So what I'm saying to you is that it is part of the ascension process. Good question, thank you.
Jamie says, hello Simon, in the past you have talked about four alien races having big futures on the planet. That being the Lyrans, Pleiadians, Sirians, and Mantids. Could you please explain the role each race plays with the awakening of humanity and the unique energetic signature each kind brings to this planet? Thank you, Simon and Becky, for your services to humanity. You are both great assets to the awakening of humanity.
That's very kind from both of us. I can't remember specifically saying four. If I did, then I must have been on an off day, because there are many more than four. I mean, we throw in Andromeda, you know, for a start off. We can also throw in Reptilian. It's not been a benefit to humanity, but goodness me, it's been a great player on humanity. So there may be four races that are well known to many people, but there are many more than that that have had an effect. Sometimes they work together, but more often than not they work individually. We often hear about a grand council or a federation, and indeed there is a council, there is a federation, but that doesn't stop these players doing their own thing. So they'll have an overall goal in which they will all work together to provide specialisms to get that one task done, but they still will operate individually. And we mustn't dissect this to have this vision of this race in one place and this race in another place, and they come down and they do stuff and there's a war in space. There are very many people on the planet, ordinary people, humans, who contain a soul which is not Earth human. And they could be Palladian, they could be Andromedan. And some of those people have distant memories of just that, past lives, not just here on Earth, but off this planet. And those people incarnate here to try to do some good. And just for the record, as it's come up a couple of times with some of the clients I've spoken to, there is a number of New Age visions or views that I don't actually hold with. And one of them is a vision that when a person comes here and they get a terrible time as a child, the New Age philosophy is, oh, well, you must have agreed to that. You know, you must have agreed to it because it happened to you. So it's obviously part of your learning journey. I actually don't buy that. I don't. My view is that when a person is good and comes here to do good work, the bad guys see that, detect it, and either push that incoming soul into a very bad family or into a family that's good, but they then work on the family to turn the family bad against that individual. So often these parents are victims themselves. They haven't a clue what's going on. So when a person comes here, they come here to do some good, but because of the processing of arrival, we very rarely remember specifically what that job was. We just know we've got to do something for the good. So there are many groups that come here to do good, and there are groups that, I say, do bad. They just want to maintain the status quo, and that is bad because it's trying to prevent us from, you know, ascension, from evolving, from being what humanity really should be. So I hope that sort of a quick potted history is of help. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anne from Australia says, "Hello, Simon. I am learning so much from your broadcasts. Thank you. I have made an appointment in December with you for my son, who now has entities cleared by a trustworthy Adelaide healer. I would like to know why my son and others are targeted so severely, creating absolute havoc and distress in their lives by certain psychic healers who claim to be helping humanity. Please, can you help me make sense of what is happening?"
Well, I can't comment, I haven't met you yet, on a specific. But what I can say to you is it just follows on really well from the last question, doesn't it? If a person is being overtly, we all get attacked from time to time, except the bad people never get attacked. I'm very, very suspicious of people that, you know, I'm doing really well and doing this and doing that and everything's great, and I'm thinking, why are you getting, what's going on here? You know, the rest of us are being hammered and you know, you seem to be doing really well, and then you discover that, you know, there's other reasons for it. But back to the question, I think, what, can you just repeat the question again for me, Becky, the last bit? Ooh, it was about individuals, wasn't it? But the implication was that somebody had been attacked by somebody. I think that's what it was.
Right, let me just find it. "I would like to know why my son and others are targeted so severely, creating absolute havoc and distress in their lives by certain psychic healers who claim to be helping humanity."
Well, what happens is just like, it's like, you know, people who do ayahuasca. Ayahuasca in itself is not bad, but there are a number of these organizations, these places that have been taken over. And that's why I always recommend, if you're going to do ayahuasca, and I wouldn't, but if you're going to, you do it on a personal recommendation, excuse me, from someone who's done it and had a good experience. You know, how fantastic to get a group of people, all whom are spiritual, all whom possibly are psychic, and get them all in one place and then try and infect them with demonic energy. And, you know, that's why you've got to be so careful. In every walk of life, whether it's real estate, whether it's the bank, whether it's in the psychic world, you know, there are people that profess to do one thing and do something else. You know, that's just the way it is. And I can't comment because I don't know the ins and outs here. But people will be attacked who are good, who have come here to bring change. Sometimes a number of my clients have inadvertently been attacked. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time, or they picked up some ancient artifact or a Ouija board, which is nothing more than a portal. And because they were psychic themselves, they were attacked. So there's a host of reasons why good, decent, honest people get the attack. If you're already demonic and you're already evil, you're not going to be attacked because you're already in that realm until such time as you choose to come away from it. So I'm glad to learn that you found a trusted person to remove the entity or entities. I look forward to speaking to you in December, and I will do my very best for you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Can I, before we go, can I just say my thank yous?
Okay.
I want to say my thank yous because last time I didn't properly anyway. So here we go. It's not the whole list. It's an extended period of time, you know. So I've just managed to get what I can. If your name is not on the list, you know, please forgive me, and hopefully I'll get your name on there next time round. So I want to thank Leslie, Sue, Christopher, Katrin, Gut, Donald, Shamsa, Lisa, Ofri, Tina, Richard, Cheryl, Martin, Isabel, Vita, Olaf, Azusa, Jane, Trent, Sharon, Valerie, Pascal, Kiss, Bolivia, Laura, Roger, Romania, John, excuse me, Richard H. There were two Richards, so this is Richard H. Warehouse, Mary, David, Margaret, Gypsy, John, Rhodes, Candice, Sharon, I think that's Lexington, Stephanie, Umar, nearly there, Jeff, Oliver, Petros, Judith, and Anita. If there were others of you and I've failed to put you on the list there, please don't take that personally. And I thank everyone who's very kindly supported what we do here and hopefully continue to support us. And hopefully some of you can come to our meeting in London on the 15th of September and celebrate with us where we've gone and where we're going. All right, thank you, Becky. Sorry to interrupt you, Becky, but I just realised that
And yeah, thanks for the donations. Andreas says, hello, is it possible to get help from you regarding extreme paranormal daily activity around my girlfriend? It has been going on for 11 months now, but has gotten so much worse the past week, things appearing, others disappearing, food always consumed and made a mess of, objects thrown at us, has cut her with a knife on her finger twice, poured cold blood on my neck, thrown alcohol in my eye. We are from Finland, but I've not been able to find someone with experience of this kind here. And a lot more crazy things have happened, but I leave them unsaid, as you might think this is a joke.
No, we are desperate for help. No, no, of course not a joke. I deal with this all the time. That's what I came here to do. It's not a joke at all. I'm sorry that, you know, you've had such a bad time. I think the best thing in this case is I don't normally queue jump. What I'd have to do is give up. And I'm not doing this to sound brilliant. I do it because I want to do it. I'll give up some of my off time and see you, because what you've described is quite serious there. So what will happen is Becky will email you and will give you a time and a date when I'm not working, but I will work for you. You will have to pay, I'm afraid. I'm not doing it for free because it's my off time particularly. But what I'm looking for is a poltergeist. You're doing it on behalf of your girlfriend. She must be prepared to come on Skype. I can't talk to you and help if she's not prepared to do it. So don't book me unless she's prepared. I'll see you both together. You can sit side by side if you wish, no problem. But she's got to be there and she's got to want to talk to me. My inclination is a poltergeist, but that's not exclusively the case. Yeah, it's very common. I know that sounds really throwaway comment. I'm sorry, it's not meant to be, but it is really common, and I deal with it all the time. It's just that it's not covered on the television, except if it's a horror movie or it's in some sort of cartoon. But it is real. It happens much more regularly than you would think, and it'd be quite easy for us to deal with. Okay, thanks. Next question, please.
Well, I just wanted to say, and did you want to just say a bit more about what poltergeists are?
No. I don't want to lead the subject. I presume that he and the girlfriend will be listening to this, so when I speak to them, I don't want them to have a preconceived idea. I just need them to to tell me exactly what's happened without any interference, and then I will make the judgment from that. So I deliberately didn't explain anymore. All right, let's go on to the next one then, please. Thank you.
Okay, Boris from Argentina says, "Hi Simon, I need to ask you why some people can see numbers like 33 or 333 all the time, every day. I am one of these people. I read something about like it is a master number or guide angels, but I'm not sure what it is. What I'm sure is that my life started to see synchronicities since I can figure out that the number is there."
Okay, you're struggling back in
English. I am, because it's English, not in English, but...
English is a second language, it's fine. Right, yeah. Okay, I understand enough of that. We have to be very careful. 3, 6, 9, 12 are alien figures. These were the figures given to us as much as anything else. So we can't just assume or take it that it is some divine intervention. In fact, the very fact that it is these numbers tells me it's probably not. When I get a chance to talk to you, then I think a lot more will come through from it. Individuals have numbers which are important in their lives, and those of you who've done astrology will have a real good understanding of that. Other times we draw energies to us, and those energies express themselves in numbers, and it can be numbers and colours. I remember as a 5-year-old child complaining that I had a pain, and when my mother called a doctor, a human doctor, and the doctor said to me, you know, well, what sort of pain is it? I don't think they were very good with children in those days. And I said, well, it's a green pain. And he got very cross. So energies that we interpret as numbers or colours can then begin to manifest. Now the question is, what's the message and who's behind it? That's the only thing you need to work out. Who's behind it and what's the message? Because if an evil force is behind it, we're not interested. But if it's a good force or an in-between force, then we might want to look at what that message is. What are they drawing our attention to? What are they trying to tell us? And by talking to you, by understanding a lot more, asking you lots of questions, by doing some energy reading, I think we'd be fairly clear as to come to some answers for you. Thank you for writing in.
Okay, thanks. Greta asks, how do you see events on Earth developing in the next year or so? And what is the event?
There are two takes on the event. There's the doom and gloom brigade, who see the event as a mass extinction of humanity, a mass destruction. Just about everything and anything, from volcanoes to earthquakes to quite giant floods to nuclear explosions. And then there's the event, which is the other one, which is evolution, the transformation of humanity from the third through the fourth relatively quickly and into the fifth. So, you know, on a third dimensional world, we have money, so you pay your money, you take your choice. It depends which side of the energy field you're on. If you're a very negative person, perhaps, then you see the event as the coming doom of mankind. If, like me, you're a bit more upbeat and a bit more positive, you see the event as a transformation. Now, that doesn't mean that the bad boys are going to keep out of it. And they'd want their event, because the event to them is the answer. But of course, from our perspective, it's not what we want. So that's my take on the event. In terms of where do I see? I see humanity breaking free even further over the next 12 months. I'm not going to give you a prediction on the election results for President Trump, because that will be next year. But I will say to you that the way that humanity is turning its back on mainstream news, that's going to snowball. The way that humanity is just disbelieving anything that's coming out of officialdom now, that's going to snowball. In other words, the authorities are going to become increasingly alarmed at their lack of control and manipulation over the audience. That is why new technologies are being sought by bad people to try to take the place of the propaganda control, which really we go back to you know, Dr. Joseph Goebbels, that has now been, it's been devolved. We've moved beyond that. So now there are people looking for electronic devices which will take the place of the traditional form of control system. Now I see humanity out-evolving all of it. I really do. I think that humanity underestimates itself. I think that we can achieve some greatness in a very short time now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Angie from Cornwall in England says, "Hi Simon and Becky, thank you for the great work that you do. I would like to ask you about the moon and its role and the role it plays in our ascension to 5D. At night on the 12th of August, I was in the garden and looked up into the sky hoping to see a meteor, and I was also looking at the moon. All of a sudden, I saw a big wave of energy radiating from the moon and it was quite shocking to see. I've heard of the solar flash, but didn't realise that the moon could also energetically emit a large wave. My zodiac sign is Cancer and my ruling planet is the moon, which may explain a connection to this event. Do you have any thoughts on this?"
Certainly do.
Many thanks.
Thank you. Certainly do. The moon is an artificial body, so anything coming out of it is not source, it's not divine creation, it's artificial. There are two possibilities. One is, I'm 95% certain, and there's a 5%. What is a 5%? That a positive force has detonated a form of wave that has been reflected back off the moon. But I'm 95% certain. You see, the moon is a control system. Absolutely, it is. And what, you've been very psychic because of your connection to the moon. That doesn't mean you're bad, by the way. You have a connection to the moon. That does not mean that you're controlled by the moon or bad. It's just there are a number of celestial bodies out there, and people, depending on when they were born, etc., etc., are connected to different planets. But the moon is nothing other than a host for electronic equipment for non-human species, or there are some humans there, and it's also a reflector and an emitter of waves. From galactic center, from source, the planet and all of the planets in our solar system are being bathed and from time to time with these peaks of energy, which are absolutely designed to move us up into the fifth dimension. What they're designed to do is to make it capable for us to move up into the fifth dimension. But the negatives are fighting back, and their technology just doesn't stop at chemtrails, because that's a very low technology basic thing. So what better way than your artificial satellite to start emitting waves or pulses designed to negate the effect or attempt to slow down the effect of the ascension? Then the moon is nothing to do with ascension. The moon is not there to assist humanity to get to fifth dimension. The moon is part of the status quo, it's part of the control system. Just go back and look at histories where people have been sacrificed, and look at the phases of the moon when they were sacrificed. You're very gifted, and you're very talented, and you're very lucky to have seen this energy wave come from the moon. I believe that you were meant to put that question to me. Becky was meant to pull that question out. Remember, you know, I don't see those questions. Becky pulls them out and does it, and I am sharing that with the audience, and I think this is all meant to be, that energy wave coming from the moon is not positive. It is not part of the ascension process. And you're very gifted because your connection to the moon has allowed you to see that. So you are seeing the enemy using one of their devices, and I've been aware of it, but I have never met in the 10 years, and we'll be celebrating that fairly soon now, the 10 years that I've been going public, I personally haven't met one person who's seen these waves coming from the moon, yet I have been told by others that this is what happens. So thank you for that, and I think that's pivotal. Thank you so much. Do we have time for one more, Becky?
Yes, we do. This question is from an old soul who says, "Hello, I have a short question. If someone has brown, yellow and green in his or her eyes, could that indicate lives in feline, reptoid and Pleiadian incarnations? That's my question. That's it. May peace and love encompass creation on, within and outside the planet, should we wish it. Thank you, Simon, Becky, CC crew and listeners.
No, how lovely. What a nice way to end.
Yes.
The answer is no, but the answer's better. So the answer is no, but you are looking at higher dimensions. Lyra is sixth dimensional. That's the top of the human chain in terms of evolvement. But what you've described to me is beyond that. So you're talking in the non-physical realms of a much higher dimension. So if a person's got those, I would call it flecks of colour. That's what I would say, flecks of colour. Then that to me is between the ninth and the tenth dimension. So it's left the physical world. I tell you what the New Age would call a light being. So if someone in the ninth or tenth dimension was to come and visit us today, we would see the outline of he or she, two arms, legs, but it would be a bright white light, and it would be like really bright. So what the New Age refer to quite accurately as a light being, or I call them an energy being, now somebody with those flecks of colours would have had a lifetime in one of those positions before, you know, biting the bullet and deciding to come down to Earth to do some good for humanity. So lovely question, thank you. I'll call it a day. So the dog again has stolen the show. There hasn't been a cat in sight. It doesn't mean the cats are on strike, I promise you. Thank you everybody for your support, and you know, God bless you all, and speak to you soon. Take care, bye bye.